Chris Barnes has more.
North Korea may be behind the ransomware attack that crippled hundreds of thousands of computers around the world in recent days. Symantec's Gregory Clark telling CBS News the attack has the digital fingerprints of a group in Korea that was blamed for the 2014 hacking of Sony Pictures. However, some other cybersecurity experts are cautioning the hackers involved may just be trying to make it look as if North Korea was behind the attack. I'm Chris Barnes.
Starbucks customers are paying cash today. The coffee giant has admitted a nationwide computer outage, saying they're unable to process electronic transactions at many of its outlets. Some stores just simply closed. May took to Twitter, noting some Starbucks were giving customers a free tall drink of their choice or even offering a free brewed coffee. The company's not said whether it's the victim of a cyber attack. The outage appears to be contained to some stores in the U.S. and Canada. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
A few New Jersey police departments has announced they're not going to arrest heroin users if they turn themselves into police and bring their drugs with them. And what are they going to do? Well, here's Scott Pringle.
Mahwah, Paramus, and Lyndhurst are encouraging heroin addicts to walk into the police station.
Bring in your drugs and needles. We will not arrest you for it, and we will get you the help that you need here.
Paramus Police Chief Ken Ehrenberg says this is a pilot program being started in the county to battle the heroin addiction epidemic. Bergen County Prosecutor Gerbier Graywall says drug overdose deaths are hitting all ages and income levels.
We need to bring together mental health professionals. We need to bring together counselors and addiction specialists.
Because he says we can't arrest our way out of the problem. In Paramus, Scott Pringle, New Jersey.
President Trump getting ready for his first major international trip, including going to Israel. Chris Barnes has more.
As you know, the president has chosen the state of Israel as a site for his first international visit this coming week.
And as that presidential visit to Israel approaches, David Friedman, the new U.S. ambassador to Israel, is welcomed there by Israeli officials and says of President Trump,
his love for and commitment to the state of Israel is rock solid.
That presidential trip, which starts on Friday, will take the president not only to Israel, but first to Saudi Arabia, also to Italy, where Trump will meet the Pope at the Vatican, and then it's on to Belgium. I'm Chris Barnes.
Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, and I'm going to be joined by a guest on the phone, Al War, who's a columnist for the local New Jersey Democrat, NewJersey.com in general. We're going to, first of all, let you know what's happening weather-wise, and it is right now a 78 degrees, not bad compared to last week. Tomorrow's going to get up in the 90s, 92 on Thursday, 87 on Friday, sun all the way through, and then drop back to 71 and 67 sort of on Saturday and Sunday. So a little more seasonable, but enjoy it while it lasts. And I'm going to play my introduction commercial and pick up Al on the phone, and we'll be back to you in about 1 minute.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Joe Peters, and joining me on the telephone is Al War. Say hello, Al War.
Hello, Al War.
Yeah, sounds good. How's things? You're working out of your home office in Pennsylvania today?
Yep. Hey. Do my work.
Neat. Good to hear. Al, we haven't talked in a while. I thought it would be a good time to sort of catch up. The last time we talked, we were talking about redevelopment and jobs and just how Hunterdon County in general was suffering. So maybe it's a good time to pick up right where we left off. It seems like a lot has happened over the last 6 months, including the redevelopment project getting approved.
Yeah, a lot has happened, both nationally and statewide and locally, with,
right.
Especially the housing market.
Well, yeah, the housing market in Hunterdon is off the hook on houses that are under 400,000. We're selling the day they come on. We're just, it's not like we're low on inventory. We're out of inventory. And
I was reading some of your stuff that you send out, and I had read that we're completely out of inventory.
Completely out, uncertain. I saw one in Beaverbrook, which is a really hot market in Annandale section of Clinton Township, come on at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and by noon it was under contract. Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, I think...
Who are these younger people? Or?
Yeah, they're younger to middle age. Beaverbrook's always been a prime target when people move in because it sort of looks like a good place to get started, and then you can decide on your second house a couple of years out. It attracts various types of personnel. We get singles because we get some one- and two-bedrooms in there, and then we've got some really nice end two- and threes run all the way up into the high fours, which... It's a good place to start, as I said. I lived there myself, so I can't say enough good about it. But when you get above five, go ahead.
The younger people, you hear all kinds of nonsense reported that they can't get jobs, or I suppose a certain segment of the population always gets jobs.
Right.
They just keep living, keep looking until they succeed.
I'll tell you, I did a talk this morning that it was at one of the leads groups that I belong to, and there's some amazing statistics about the millennials, and let me see if I can find those notes, because I pulled most of them off of what I've read online about millennials in New Jersey, and what it's saying is that 41% of them are earning under $30,000. And the average is 38, which is probably not enough money to buy a house anyway. It's only 2,000 above the medium income level.
Yeah.
And then a third of them are still living with parents. And as we talked about last time, the highest percentage still living with parents is Hunterdon County in New Jersey. And a quarter of them have no job.
Is that right? The highest percentage in the state?
In the state is living
That's
with the parents.
That's surprising. Still living with their parents.
Because of the cost of living in Hunterdon County. Millennial has to earn $50,000 in order to get a $1,250 mortgage or rent. That's just a rule of thumb. So you can't get much but a one-bedroom, maybe a small two-bedroom. And that that has to include the homeowners if you're buying it and the insurance and whatever. So a lot of times we're not seeing them until we're seeing a marriage or a girlfriend, boyfriend living together, buying a house, going to get married. Then there's two salaries, and it's they can afford maybe up to $2,000.
Yeah. Have you seen that that is causing them to do that?
I no.
Mean, what's the backstory there? Do they say, okay, I can't afford a house on my own, so let me find a partner here that.
I think the backstory has been more on the rental side because it's always been easier to rent two bedroom apartments for $1,600 and one bedroom for $1,200 or $1,300. And the reason there would be we'd get two people putting together a lease. And maybe two guys, two girls, sometimes a guy and a girl getting into it. But on buying a house, it's a sort of a longer commitment. I don't think it's forcing people to cohabitate in order to buy a house, but it may not be a relative enough sample.
Well, all those millennials who are still living with their parents, I feel for them. I think I'd give the parents a kick in the rear. That's what my parents did. They say, you're turning 18 next year. What are you going to do and where are you going to live?
Well, and I know I tell people because I see them doing it. The kids have a way of coming back.
Yeah.
All of my kids are middle-aged adults at this point in time. But there was a point where they'd come back. My son went in the Navy. He came back. I said, all right, well, you got a job. You're earning decent money. I want $100 a week. I'm going to put 50 aside for you so that when the time comes and you need a month and a half for security somewhere, it'll be in a bank. And it was sort of an incentive to get back out. And it's for me, it worked. I'm not sure it would work for everybody.
Yeah, well, no. No one solution for all comers. I told my dad that I was going to, when I get out of high school, I'm going to college, and he immediately said, who's going to pay for it? he had the money.
Yep.
He owned a big dairy farm, which is where I grew up, but it was a valuable lesson, you know, get out on your own.
Right.
Scramble.
And I sort of believe in the tough love concept that, you know, the more you give, the easier you make it. I'd rather make it a little more difficult. My father, all he ever gave me was a hard time. I loved him, and he was a good father. But, you know, all I ever got when I came to buy a car, I got a hard time, not a car. So
when I got to college, my first thing was to look for a full-time job to support myself because...
Wow.
I had to pay the tuition and the board and everything else. And I managed for 2 or 3 years before he finally asked me one day, 2 or 3 years in, do you need any money?
By then you were indignant.
It was a great lesson.
Yeah. Where did you go to school at, Al?
Down south, Mercer University.
Okay. What's that's South Jersey or?
No, it's in Georgia.
In Georgia, wow.
Yeah, I grew up on a farm in Georgia. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you wound up north after school and...
Well, actually, I wound up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I graduated with a chemistry degree and ended up at a rocket research lab in California there, which I was there all during the 60s.
Huh.
I came to New York at the end of the 60s. I got married, had a child, and City Service Oil hired me to computerize their Princeton labs.
Okay.
So we moved to New Jersey and then New York, which I stayed there for some time and then quit and started my own business.
Well, quite a story. I always thought you were from the North. You actually grew up in Georgia.
Grew up in Georgia, yeah. Left when I was 22.
How many head of cattle on your farm?
I've never been back other than... visits.
Right. So how many head of cattle did you have on the farm when you were there when as a child?
Oh, about 75.
Okay, that's a sizable farm.
Yeah, we had about 10, 12 employees plus the family. And being a family business, you that means everybody works. So
right.
I learned a good work ethic early on to always be busy. I can remember my dad saying many times, if you're not doing two or three things at once, you're wasting time.
Yeah, that's a good saying. A friend of mine, he works for another agency now, but I worked with him for a while, Craig Ort, says on his tagline, if you want something done, find somebody that's already busy.
Yeah, or look in the mirror.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I sat through the meeting when the council approved the redevelopment program, and it was but ugly. I mean,
talk about that. What happened?
I think probably the 3% were the outspoken, the people against it, and they all but called the mayor being in bed with the developer, your buddy, the developer. You don't care a damn about the town. And it was very well orchestrated because there was this one script and everybody got 2 minutes. So when the first one finished, somebody from the other side of the room picked up where he left off, or she.
On the same script.
On the same script. And it went on and on.
Sounds like they spent their time attacking the person and not the project.
Well yeah, and you can attack a project and still be businesslike. This was personally nasty. I felt very uncomfortable.
That's unfortunate. Too much of what goes on in the country, everywhere, is
right.
Just that.
That's why we're not getting quality politicians, because people won't subject themselves to this kind of scrutiny and feedback. But at the end of it,
we're not getting quality college graduates.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. Next door to me is a lady who bought the house. She works in New York for the city of New York, and her job is to train beginning employees, people who have just been hired by
entry
the city
level
in various positions.
Right.
I said, "What do you mean train? Don't they have experience when they come there?"
Huh.
And she says, "Oh no." She gave me a funny look, and she says, "Oh no. When I say train, I mean I have to teach them how to read, how to write, how to do simple math."
Wow.
They don't know anything. Well, why are they hired? Well, they needed a job.
I don't know.
The world is different from the one I grew up in.
It was, too. I mean, I worked, all my career was in IT, so I started in IT in retail, and then I got onto the other side of the desk, and I sold back to retailers for technology companies. And I remember the president of Macy's looking me straight in the eye and saying, "Mister, all I owe you is yesterday's salary. You're going to earn today's all over again."
Yeah.
And it was like a startling experience because I had about 30 years experience at that point in time. But it was hold them accountable kind of management. And it was exhilarating because you would come in and you would get told, "You've got 5 minutes to get your day in order because we're going behind closed doors for the rest of the day." That's like, wow. And then you come out about 7 at night from this marathon thing and the day was still going on. I think we have a much different work ethic, and I think we have a much less qualified management style today, although not all managers were good managers.
No, not all are bad, but the overwhelming number of bad managers, I can't even call them managers, Joe. They don't have the leadership skills or much less the technical skills.
Right.
To manage anything, and yet here they are sitting in a position of some responsibility and overseeing a workforce, which it's just incredible. I hate to say that the country has gone downhill or lost people, but when I see in the news the snowflakes, as they call them, wanting a safe space on campus to pet a rabbit because they're upset about something. What have we come to? Good Lord.
Well, I think we've tried to please too many people, and there's nothing wrong with everybody having their own belief, be it religious or philosophical, but
I think we
didn't say Merry Christmas for so long, we didn't say Happy Hanukkah, we said have a happy whatever. It's like, you know what, what's wrong with being Christian or Jewish or Muslim and just respecting each other's beliefs? That's the way I grew up. So talk about downtown Flemington. I mean, I just read this week that they're doing sort of a step back and saying that they're going to save part of the old hotel.
happens. There have been so many initiatives that have come to nothing that they need to do something there. Either make a decision to tear the thing down and build something else, or renovate it and turn it into a viable business. You know, one of the things that bothers me about small towns is they frequently become, and I use this term advisedly, they become inbred.
Right.
They don't look beyond their town limit enough to see what is happening or what can happen in the world, and frequently don't know enough about business and finance and economics to suggest things that are viable. So what we've ended up with is in Hunterdon County is it's a bedroom community,
right?
And has very little business or industry. There are plenty of clean industries that could be started or built in Hunterdon County or in any county. That all you need to do is go out there and find them and attract them.
Well, I worked a little bit with Mark Selleck, who did this Hack Hunterdon project.
Oh, yeah.
And I sort of went to the planning meetings, and they were looking for advertisers to buy in, and most people don't realize it, that Weikert doesn't give me money to advertise. I have to advertise with my own. And it was a little too pricey for my budget, but I said, let me work. So I helped promote it, and then I went to the graduation. And although there were some technical difficulties, like the guys had 5 minutes to present what they did for 24 hours, and they couldn't get on the Internet, it still went rather well, and it was well attended, and most of the local dignitaries stopped in for at least an hour. And I think there's some effort undergoing, but I think it's a long way to go yet.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. I interviewed the people promoting it way back in, I don't know, February, and wrote a full column on Hack Hunterdon, because I thought it was critical to get the word out early,
right,
so that people could plan to attend or do whatever the projects they wanted to tackle. And then I didn't attend the thing, so all I know is what people have told me, but they seem to think that it was quite successful. Now, whether it will result in anything, I don't know.
Well, I don't either, but I'll tell you, for one thing I got enlightened on throughout the experience is I went to a couple of companies in the feed mill building to see where they were going to hold the thing at, and I was blown away by what we have right here in Hunterdon. We have some really leading-edge technology companies. Not that they employ all the world, but there were, you know, maybe 20, 30 employees each. And it was like when I worked in high tech and I went to Austin, Texas for about 15 months. I almost commuted there. And it reminded me of Austin, Texas during the dot-com boom back in the late 90s, right around 2000. So I think there's hope that there's an opportunity here for that. But I think it's an uphill climb, and I don't mind climbing uphill as long as progress is being made.
Well, I remember a conversation I had with one of the principals on the types of industries that Hunterdon can support. And I'm not talking about a chemical plant or a paper mill like used to be on the Delaware there by Milford. But a clean type of business, which is, I mean, you think of biotech or pharmaceuticals or even machine shops, for goodness sakes, they're all going into 3D printing.
Yep.
And that is the future, it seems to me, of manufacturing. And that is all computer stuff.
Well, I've had the opportunity.
They're building medical devices. They're building actual rib cages and hearts and all kinds of things in old-time machine shops that have now converted into 3D printing or additive manufacturing, as they call it. But that it's the wave of the future, and so what? All the machine shops died because of competition from abroad, primarily China, but the future belongs not to those places that left and are thriving elsewhere in the world with cheap labor, but they are labor-intensive, and 3D printing is not labor-intensive, but the labor that you hire, you know, these people start out at $100,000 to $150,000 a year.
Yep.
They're not cheap, like you were just mentioning, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year
right.
jobs. These are not cheap jobs. So why aren't we filling up the old Merck building with 3D printing?
Well, one of the things I had the opportunity to attend was an RVCC, Raritan Valley Community College thing, where they were showing us their new building for computer-aided design. It was being sponsored to a big effect by the manufacturing facilities within the county, more Somerset than Hunterdon, and they were trying to develop the skills they needed so they didn't have to bring people in. I think there's a nice effort going on at the RVCC level, and Hunterdon County is about 26% of that effort. Is it enough? I don't know, but at least there's something being done, because I follow – we're one of the few counties in the world that have vocational as part of the high school system. So in Votech, you could learn computer design. You can learn auto technology. And then you can go on to a full two-year degree at RVCC. And then as Michael, who
take
runs...
it from there.
Yeah, he says, look, it's a start, because it's not the whole story. You still got to go in and complete the college elsewhere, because your Pell Grants run out after 60 credits. But we got them halfway. And New Jersey has the STAR program, which says if you go through RVCC and carry a 3.75 grade average, you can go to any state school for free.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think that's fabulous. That's better than what New York is talking about, because that's a farce. He's just trying to buy votes up there if that come to school for free. He's going to pay the last dollar, and then you got to work in a state for the amount of years you went to school. It's like prison.
Yeah, that's a that's a sentence.
Right, and so what I read about it was the last dollar says if you can get some grants and you can get some scholarships and it doesn't cover anything, we'll pay the last dollar. But it's not like he's going to give them. He's giving them $6,000 a year worth of education if he pays for the whole thing for 2 years. And for $12,000, you're going to sell your soul. I don't know how you could legally enforce that anyway. But
no good.
I see some good in Hunterdon County. But I sat and I talked to Jeff Otto, who's the leading real estate valuation guy. And he feels he was very down. He felt it was too little too late, and the tide has turned, and it's going to be a really tough time to turn it back. I said, but Jeff, we listened to Professor Hughes talk about technology, home-based businesses, bringing people back. He says, Joe, I just don't see it. I really don't.
Well, you can always find a reason to be down about the thing. I'm a born optimist. I don't understand people who talk themselves out of doing anything. That's just not a possibility.
No,
that's a form of giving up, which I was taught never give up. If you can't repair the milking machine with one one pass, you try again, and sooner or later you'll hit it.
Well, and I think
the same thing with the computers that I ran. The business I had in New York was computerized typesetting. That's all gone by the board now with Microsoft Word, or whatever. But the computers were, you know, this was in the 70s, and they needed a lot of attention and repair and so forth. And I found out very quickly that I better be my best repairman, because there is nobody else in New York City who could do that. I had the only machines there.
Wow.
The others were in Boston.
Well, so, I'd sure like to have the opportunity.
You learn a lot, but you repair it yourself. To take an attitude that, everything's going downhill and we have to get comfortable with the new normal. I hate that phrase.
Now, I'd like the opportunity to prove him wrong, and I don't think he meant any malice. I just think he was reporting it as he sees it. But I came back.
He's probably voicing the same attitude with a lot of people. You know, we've turned people off in the last 20 years. I see it big time.
Oh yeah,
you can't do this, you can't do that, and coming down the pike right at 90 miles an hour is another 15,000 pages of regulations from someplace.
Either
Washington or Trenton or Remington. The local people are not immune to this same disease.
I had several of the local Board of Chosen Freeholders. We call them Suzanne and Mark Salek come in and talk to us at the sales meeting, which we had about 50 people attend. And they were saying that, you know, what it used to be is when you came to the entry to Hunterdon County, there was a big closed for business sign up there. Not like physically, but in general, because you had everything you just described. And I think Mark has gone a long way in trying to get that changed around. And I think
to turn that around.
Yeah. But I think
it's a difficult thing because it has seeped into the culture.
Right.
Which is that's a difficult thing to start to try to turn around. You almost have no place to begin. But that's no reason not to try.
Well, I also attended, because I'm very involved in Somerset County. I'm in the Basking Ridge, the Warren Township, and the Somerset County Business Alliances or Chambers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mike, who has Chris Phelan's job, Mike Kerwin spoke at Basking Ridge last Monday, and he said, maybe it was Tuesday, but it doesn't matter. He said that if Trump gets his tax incentives through, and he says it may take a while for that to happen, he sees an onslaught of companies moving into Somerset County.
Oh, I see an onslaught of companies everywhere.
Yeah.
All across the country. And we'd better be in position to take advantage of it in Hunterdon.
I agree, because my point when I made it back to Mark was, you know, some of it has to seep into Hunterdon. We're not that far, much further over, at least the eastern part of Hunterdon County.
Sure.
So, yeah, there's a lot of naysayers.
I'm excited about the possibility that with the tax thing. I hope they don't just do a little twist here and there.
I don't see
which,
that.
Which can be the outcome and would be unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because a little twist here and there is not going to do it. What we need is a big vision, and Trump seems to have it. I don't know where it will go with Congress. You never do.
You never do, but I think at least he has got the majority with him and now can get rules through of some of the things that he changed around so far. So let's see.
Yeah.
Let's hope that he can get some of this through. I've seen other people saying, he's going to get impeached. He doesn't know what he's doing. There's always the naysayers, and we're split pretty much 50-50. But
yeah.
I look, the guy's elected. You got 4 years. And that's another thing I got taught at Macy's. That's the hand you got dealt. Play it. You can't have another hand. So he's the hand.
You can't have another one until 4 years from
right.
now.
Right. So he's the hand we got played. And got dealt. Let's play it. And let's see if we can make it happen. I'm looking.
Everything else has been tried and didn't work or hasn't worked too well. Let's see what. I'm of the same opinion. Let's see what he can do.
So
I don't agree with everything he does or everything he says. So what?
Yeah, that's right.
That's life.
I, for one, don't think he was the best.
I ain't never going to agree with everything anybody says.
I don't think he was the best choice to represent the party, but he was the choice that wound up representing the party.
The one that got there.
Yeah,
so,
and he got elected, and he outclassed the other party by understanding how the vote was. I think he knew what he was doing, but even if he didn't, he still won.
So
here we are sitting in downtown Flemington looking at Jack Cust putting up an $80 million project, now saving part of the facade, at least, of the old building. I think that's exciting. I think it's beyond the 3% that showed up and complained were just that, the vocal minority. I think the other 97% just presume it'll go through. I don't need to go down. And, you know, they know what they're doing. And I tipped my hat. I had Phil Greiner on. I got to learn how to say Phil's last name. And I tipped my hat. I said, Phil, that was nasty, but you guys stuck to your convictions and did what needed to be done. And
that's the kind of people you need.
It is. And
you always will have the naysayers, and thankfully, they're usually in the minority.
Yes.
My view. I went over today and voted for the Eastern City Council and the local offices, you know.
Okay.
And I asked the lady who was the I don't know what you call them, manager. She was overseeing everything.
Yep.
How many people have voted? Oh, not that many. There was nobody there when I was there. One person came in while as I was leaving. But that's part of the problem.
It is.
Is we don't take our civic duties seriously enough, and therefore the naysayers who are, like you say, 3, 6, 10 people, whatever, get the loudest voice.
Right.
Which is unfortunate when it comes, especially to town projects. I see all kinds of possibilities for Flemington and for the rest of Huntington County. It's not just Flemington, but I think Flemington had, and you know the development there around the Stangle Center, in and around it,
yep,
is heartening.
It is.
And if they can, you know, do similar things downtown, and I don't know how much they'll let happen, then the town, I think, has good possibilities. It'll take time, it'll take money, it'll take vision, and it'll take optimism that the future can be better than what we have here now. But you'll see it in the real estate when it starts to happen. In fact, you'll probably be the first person to see it.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what I am saying. First of all, I think the key word there was vision. And having vision, nothing happens till somebody with vision comes along. And
sure.
I think Jack and his project had the vision for what we're in. And I love old buildings. But good grief, anybody who thinks this hotel should be saved has to drive around and look at it from the back. It's going to fall down on all its own. And all anybody ever did was open a restaurant. It wasn't a hotel for the last umpty 2 years. It was a restaurant and bar a couple of times. And for 10 years it sat blank. I mean, let's move on. The decision's been made. But look at the rest of the county. I do see things like the Costco coming along being a boost. I really question out loud, because we have smaller and smaller families, why a big box store is needed. But it seems to be drawing the people, and we go in there ourselves.
You brought up a subject that is of major concern to me. I talk to small business owners every week.
Right.
For the last 15 plus years. And the retail sector is under siege right now. Big time.
How so?
In several years, there are going to be closures, maybe earlier,
right,
that you wouldn't believe in name stores like Macy's. They can't survive this.
No.
I don't see how big box stores are going to survive with the onslaught of Amazon, for example, and others like them. And they're all jumping in to try to sell stuff online now and have it delivered for free or whatever they do. But I don't see that brick-and-mortar stores now. Having said that, there is a place for small retailers, small specialty retailers. And you need to look no further for proof than what happened back in the 80s or when the really started in the 70s when Walmart came to town.
Yep.
And every other store closed up and left or went bankrupt or whatever.
Right.
Went out of business. And others, there were some, and I talked to many of them, that said, wait a minute, Walmart doesn't offer this type of product, or
right,
Walmart doesn't offer this service, or Walmart doesn't offer whatever. And they kept their business. Some of them transformed into other types of businesses. I remember a hardware store in Clinton there that the guy closed his hardware store, moved out on 22, and still does hardware that you cannot get at Walmart.
Right.
And added other things. I think the U-Haul activity there, but anyway, there are paths to survive the retail, they call it ice age on the financial program I watch, but it is unbelievable what is happening right in front of our eyes, and yet some of the big box stores are opening new stores.
I had a meeting today. There's a leads group that meets every, I don't know, whatever it is, the third Wednesday or Tuesday. And yeah. I got up and I said, how many saw the movie Animal House? And about three quarters raised their hand. I said, there was a scene at the very end of Animal House where the parade marched into the wall because they forgot to make that last turn. And I said, that's exactly what's happening in housing. We're building Center Hall Colonials, although we really haven't built Center Hall Colonials. But for a long time, we built Center Hall Colonials.
For a long time, they were built, yeah.
Right. And now nobody wants them. And, yeah. You know, we have to get ahead of it in vision, as you said earlier, to say, hey, the people are now looking, the bookends, which we're considering the millennials and the seniors, are looking for multi-floor, multi-family type luxury environment where there's no maintenance involved. We're not building that in Hunterdon County. So the seniors are going to Pennsylvania, not that they have it there. They're going there because it's cheaper to live in Pennsylvania.
And that's exactly why I'm here.
And there you go, living proof. And the millennials are going to New York. So we're sitting in Hunterdon County without a lot of new housing because, one, the economic downturn didn't help, but two, the Council on Affordable Housing rules are very stringent, and it drives a lot of business away, in my opinion. That's not a fact. That's a Joe Peters opinion.
Oh, sure.
But all we have to sell is the existing housing, and existing housing, in a lot of instances, doesn't match today's requirements.
Nobody wants them, yeah.
Right. And this is something Jeff said, Jeff Otto. I go to his seminar, so it's pretty well known, his thoughts. He says that we jurisdicted ourselves into this mess. We said you had to build on 3 acres. Well, nobody's going to build a two-bedroom house on 3 acres. So so we haven't changed it. If you want to go build a new house, I'm working with somebody right now, they want a 3,600-square-foot house put up. So happens he wants a 3,600, but most people don't. So we're sitting with under, 65% of the people don't have a child of school age, 50% don't have two people in a house, and 35% is a single woman. That's a lot different than it was 20 years ago.
And they want convenience. They like town living.
Town living. If that project that just happened in Reddington, which the affordable housing dictated, it had to have city war, city sewer, and be near a train station, which is what people want, but now they're building it in the White House area, and everybody's up in arms because they're building it on wetlands.
Build it in Pennsylvania, but they ain't gonna commute.
No. And somebody asked me, somebody who's in the leadership program this year, Lacey Phelps, I'm sure she doesn't mind, she says, why aren't people going all the way to Flemington? I said, people aren't coming all the way to Clinton. Used to be Route 31 plus a mile is as far as people want to go. Now it's more like Route 287 plus 2 miles. That's as far west.
Yeah, 287 is pretty much the barrier there.
Yep. And I can take you into Bridgewater because I sell real estate all across Somerset County, and I can show you that the hottest spot in Bridgewater is the northeast quadrant, the side east of 287 towards New York and north of 22. That's where people want to live. Everything else is considered secondary to that. And then I take a look. We sell an average house in Hunterdon County for $413,000 last month. You go to Warren Township, it's not 20 miles away. The average house is $925,000.
My office was in Bridgewater all during the 90s. I ran the Business Owners Institute there, and I used to take walks through the neighborhood.
Right.
I was on 202, and the neighborhood in the back of the back part of the area, there's just the area you're talking about. These houses were built two bedrooms, one car garage in the 1960s and 70s, I think. Anyway, people would come there even then, and this was in the 90s, all during the 90s.
Right.
People would come in, buy the house, tear it down,
yep,
and build the house that they wanted. And that whole little area back there, which was like a development in prior years, was getting transformed that way. I understand.
It's still happening. I have a fellow who has an industrial company here in Branchburg, and he lives up in Livingston. So I went up and looked at his house, and he said, should I put a new kitchen in? I said, nope. Should I put new bathrooms in? I said, nope. He says, why not? Don't you think? I said, whoever buys this house is going to knock it down. Look at your neighborhood.
They're going to tear it down. They want the lot.
Yeah. They're paying for the lot. They're not even going to come in and look at the inside.
Yeah.
We see that in Bridgewater down in Bradley Gardens. They're knocking those little cottages down and putting up the houses oversized for the lot. But I guess that's how Bridgewater keeps the taxes being so attractive. They let it happen. So the last time we talked, Al, you said the one thing we needed in Hunterdon County was jobs. And I'm not sure
good
much.
Good paying jobs.
Yeah, good paying jobs.
And when you have good paying jobs, you attract the people who can buy your houses.
Right.
And pay the taxes.
And I don't think much has changed, either plus or minus. I think that's still a definite need. What have you seen in the last 6 months that you could sort of qualify, plus or minus, that with?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean,
say that again.
What new information have you uncovered? I mean, the retail is new.
Yeah.
But specific to Hunterdon County, what else are you seeing recently?
In viable jobs?
Well, in viable projects that will create jobs or housing.
I tell you the truth, I'm a little disappointed that I'm not seeing more.
Okay.
And I voiced that to Mark Selleck several times when we talked, that you don't need a big plant to attract high-paying jobs, and that solves your economic problem from several standpoints. But I don't see that happening. Yeah, to any great extent. It goes on. Okay.
Yep.
But there's no spearheaded movement to get this to happen, it seems to me. Maybe I'm missing stuff. I don't know. The small retailers, I think small retailing is going to be here forever.
I think
people
so, too.
People like to go shopping.
The people and the buy local program. I know
and
Clinton.
They like to buy local. They want to go in and try on the clothes or meet the tailor or whatever. And that is never going to change. But you can do all the kind of fancy things you want on the net and get stuff shipped to you. I saw an ad the other day that they take your measurements and they'll just make clothes for you.
Right.
Yeah, and okay, that there's a market for that, I'm sure, or they wouldn't even be there. Maybe it's lasting and maybe it's not. But it won't take the place of the specialty shop. In Flemington there at Shops at Flemington, that was it Addicted Chic?
Yep.
She has a shop there and one in Clinton.
In Clinton, right.
And that place, I mean, she knows what she's doing. She's
absolutely
very successful, or seems to be, and it ain't going to change.
No.
I don't care how many Amazons come online or how many Walmarts open up or close up. Or whether Macy's is around or not.
Right. I know. I look at
it. It's a segmentation of the market that I see going on, and I think that's a very good development.
I look at retail a little different because I grew up in it, and then I sold to the vertical.
Okay.
And I when I walk through a mall and I see all of these coming soon, I said, that's not a coming soon. That's a gone.
That's a gone.
That's a gone. That's a missing tooth. And, yeah, maybe one of the 20 will be something will open up. But the pop-ups that I see are just that, pop-ups for the holidays, and they close down again.
And then they close down.
So
yeah.
they're trying to
open up with high expectations and don't make it.
Right.
There's always going to be some of that. People are trying new ideas or whatever. But as a general trend, I see small retail as an attractive business for the future. And downtown Flemington is perfectly positioned for that kind of thing, if they will just let it happen.
Right. That's a great, great.
And quit trying to save old buildings and old trees. You can always plant a new one. They grow.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I go to I went up, speaking of the trees, I was up in Basking Ridge and part of that tree project, as far as education-wise, when they took down a 600-foot tree. And there's a town that was involved. That town got around that tree. They took it down. They couldn't get their roots out because it's in an old Civil War cemetery, but they saved the wood from the tree, and they're going to try to make, like, the altar for the church that it served. They took acorns from the old tree, and they planted new trees, and they're going to plant. They can't plant it where it was because there's no nutrients left. That's why it died probably after 600 years. But totally involved in this project, and I'm not saying Hunterdon or Flemington is not totally involved. I salute everybody for having their own opinion. That's the American way. But sure. I didn't see the backing that Jack should have gotten. And maybe it's the 3% come out and the 97% that agreed with him didn't. But we should have at least had an equal number of them saying, no, this is why, this is why, this is why.
Look forward, look ahead.
Yeah. So we got about two or three minutes left, Al. What points would you like to make?
Oh, I don't know. I was always interested in the consumer confidence figures and the interest rates, and you're directly involved in both those things. Where do you see the interest rates going?
Well, they're hovering right around 4 right now. They're up to 4 and 3 eighths. If it went from 3 and 3 eighths at the election to 4 and 3 eighths, that's 1%. And 1% takes 9% out of the buying. But at the same time, house prices, because of supply and demand, are rising this year. So you may have lost 15%, not 9%. And that means if you could afford a $500,000 house a year ago, this year you probably can only afford $125,000. I don't know how 15% of 500 comes out. But I see it going another half a point. I'm reading the industry articles. I see it creeping up just on its own if the Fed doesn't raise it. But if the Fed raises another half a point between now and next year, I see 5% possible, at least 4.75%.
Do you think with the talk in Congress of the tax thing will affect that?
That remains to be seen, because I think the tax thing is going to take a while to get through. Just like the fight over Flemington, we're going to have a fight over that. I mean, you saw Chuck Schumer. I mean, I cannot believe a guy 2 weeks says, I have no confidence in your whatever, the FBI director, and 2 weeks later says, you're Mr. President, you're making a mistake. As I said, Chuck, which side are you on? You're arguing both sides of the coin. He can't be right. But
that's what politicians do.
That's what they do, I guess.
It seems. I think they're trained that way, aren't they, with both sides of the argument?
But
and it spills over into everything they do.
I think your other question was very interesting, though, and that is consumer confidence. Consumer confidence,
it is
based on reality, but it's more of an emotion than an actual. And
But the way people feel about the future
has
shut up.
And I know Marilyn.
And that's a lot of economics, right there.
My better half feels that she wasn't pro-Hillary, but she was anti-Trump. And she actually voted for, I don't know, one of the parties that got 2%, just so she voted. But she said, I can't vote for either one of these idiots. I said, okay, that's your opinion.
Sounds like your wife has a head on her shoulder.
Yeah. But the one thing that she likes is the fact that the stock market's up 2,500 points since he got in, or whatever the number is.
Who can't like that?
Yeah, so she's saying, you know what, this isn't so bad. I see the way. Yeah. So I think we're mercenaries at heart when you see a 401.
One of the problems with the interest in the stock market is a lot of people don't realize that a lot of their savings and IRAs and whatever is in the stock market.
Yeah.
That's where it is. Don't you realize that?
Yeah.
They say, oh, the stock market, that's just Wall Street manipulating. Well, it is. It's a big casino, of course. But it also makes money.
Well, Al, I appreciate you coming on. I'll tune you in about 90 days again, and we'll find out how we're doing on this downtown Flemington project. And
let's see where that goes.
As always, it's been good to talk to you, and I'll keep in touch.
Good. Look forward to it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well, once again, this is Joe Peters, and we just spoke for 45 minutes or so with Al Warr. Al, if you don't know it, just look up A-L-W-A-R-R. He is a contributing columnist with both NJ.com and the local Democrat, which is part of NJ.com, and he's a frequent guest and of other radio shows and very involved in Hunterdon County. What I'm going to do at this point in time, as we have two or three minutes left, is I am going to catch up on a couple of commercials and then play mine at the end, and we'll talk to you again next week when I'm going to have Suzanne Legay on, and we're going to talk about what's happening in Hunterdon County in more detail. Here we go.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077, or visit njthin.com. That's
come join us for the 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 4 at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park in Ringo's. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be games, fun for the whole family, pony rides and a petting zoo, reptile shows by Michael Schwedick, outdoor games and activities, a shred event sponsored by the Hunterdon County Clerk from 11 to 3, tethered balloon rides by Unity Bank. The 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the Board of Chosen Freeholders of Hunterdon County, Hunterdon Healthcare, Unity Bank, Jersey Mike's and Subs. For all the great details and information, visit HunterdonChamber.org or give us a call at 908-782-7115.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
There's a reason that they're classified, and the disclosure of them, the non-authorized disclosure of them, present a threat to national security.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer saying the leaks of government information to the media are much more concerning than anything President Trump may have said to the Russians. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster says the Washington Post story about classified information was false and the president did nothing improper.
It's wholly appropriate for the president to share whatever information he thinks is necessary to advance the security of the American people. That's what he did.
President Trump met with Turkish President Erdogan at the White House today. He said the two nations face a joint enemy in ISIS.
Today we face a new enemy in the fight against terrorism, and again we seek to face this threat together.
Security officials say that the virus has crippled computer systems around the world has the fingerprints of the North Korean group that attacks Sony Pictures. USA Radio News.
Staples knows that when your spreadsheets no longer spread, it's time. When your presentations are not presentable, it's time. And when tensions in the office are high.
No, tensions are very, very high.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has a full range of